It is always great. It's always great to see everyone out and assemble together, sing songs of praise, witness new babes born in Christ, build each other up in word and song. And it's a great day today. It's always great to come together, worship the Lord. If I were to mention a name, Juan Mann. Would you know who that was? Juan Mann? Well, first of all, Juan Mann is actually a pseudonym. He's not a real person. Well, he is a person, but that's not his real name. It's a play on words, actually. One man. You see, his name is, he calls himself Juan Mann. And fake name or not, what he did was real enough. Juan Mann started what's come to be called the Free Hugs Campaign. And it was about 10 years ago. And what it is really a social movement involving individuals who offer hugs to strangers in places out in the public. Some places this has gotten banned for various reasons. But this is how it started, okay? Juan Mann writes this on his official website. He says, "I've been living in London when my world turned upside down and I had to come home. By the time my plane landed back in Sydney, Australia, all I had left was a carry-on bag full of clothes and a world full of troubles. No one to welcome me back, no place to call home. I was a tourist in my own hometown." Juan Mann continues saying, "Standing there at the arrivals terminal, watching other passengers meeting their waiting friends and family with open arms and smiling faces, hugging and laughing together, I wanted someone out there to be waiting for me, to be happy to see me, to smile at me, to hug me. So I got some cardboard and a marker and I made a sign. I found the busiest pedestrian intersection in the city and he held that sign aloft," he said, "with the words, 'Free hugs,' on both sides. And for 15 minutes, he says, people just stared right through me. The first person who stopped tapped me on the shoulder and told me how her dog had just died in the morning. And how that morning had been 1 year that her daughter had died in a car accident. And how what she needed now, when she felt the most alone in the world, was a hug. I got down on one knee, we put our arms around each other, and when we parted, she was smiling. A hug, a warm greeting. Prayerfully, no one ever feels a stranger in the Lord's church. Prayerfully, you never feel like a tourist. Prayerfully, you feel as though there's someone here waiting for you, happy to see you, to smile, to offer you a hug. There's a study that was done by the American Council of Life Insurance. They did this for health reasons. They reported that the most lonely group in America were college students, followed by divorced people, those folks with low income, single mothers, rural students, housewives, and the elderly. We live in a society that's extremely lonely. So lonely that social campaigns like the Free Hugs Campaign are actually born to fill a need in people's lives that is supposed to be right here. And I think that it's fair to say that most of us have experienced this feeling firsthand. Maybe we've not complained about it at all, for one reason or another, but you still feel lonely. You could feel lonely in your own home, with your spouse, with your family, sometimes even here. Loneliness is real. Loneliness is real. But it's not supposed to exist in the body of Christ. You see, followers of Jesus have the answers to those dealing with loneliness. And we need to tell the world about it. Because the world is offering its solutions. And those kinds of solutions involve destructive behavior, like addictions and bad habits. And all those things do is dull the pain of loneliness. But it comes back with a vengeance. And so we do what we can to be with others. You know, we try to find some place to hang out. we get together with friends. Maybe it's going to a coffee shop or the mall, or it's just so you can be together, you know? But that's usually about all that happens, you know? You want to get together? Sure. Where do you want to go? Hey, what do you want to do? I don't know. But that's a natural thing to do, to want to be with friends and to hang out, because doing that will satisfy that need in your life for a little while. But God's solution is more than just hanging out and doing whatever. God has designed an experience for His followers so that that is so much better than simply sitting around and staring at your smartphone, playing some kind of game while sipping a latte. Okay? All right? And so what's the solution that God has? Well, it's Christian community. It's what we're doing right now and more. You see, there's so much more to God's community of followers than sitting in blue padded chairs on Sunday morning. Still, what we're doing right now is a part of God's solution to the loneliness that we all experience. And that's because God did not create us to be alone. He did not. We are meant to have companionship. We are meant to have friendship and fellowship. We're meant to have a purpose. God has given us a purpose. You see, real community is hanging out, but with a spiritual purpose. And so, what's that look like? What does that look like? Well, again, I challenge you to look around a little bit. It's what we're doing right now, being assembled together, worshiping God in songs of praise and prayer and encouraging one another, seeing babes born into Christ, celebrating marriages and new births and children to be born, you know. It's looking at God's Word and Bible classes and learning things and experiencing God, you see, through one another. And through what we learn, it's a marvelous time, you see. We also need to learn, though, that this is not the only time to do that. Steve mentioned that, I believe, in the Lord's Supper lesson that he shared with us, you know. See, we need to learn to come together for individual spiritual purposes outside of this building. It doesn't end here. It goes on. It's what we're a part of. It's not confined here. Think about it. We are designed by God, who himself is made up of three, living in profound relationship with one another. And we're designed really by God in the image of God, and very much the same way, to live in relationship with each other and God. I suppose the best way that you can tell if you are experiencing real communities by answering one basic question. And here it is. How often during the week do I get together with people with a spiritual purpose in mind outside of the church building? Think about it. As physical beings, we consume food throughout the day. You know, some of us more than others. But, you know, we consume food throughout the day. You know, when we're hungry, we eat. You know, when we're thirsty, we drink. You know, we take care of the physical aspect of our bodies. When we feel empty inside, when our stomach rumbles, we go get some food. All right. And that's pretty much like on clockwork. You miss a meal, you know, your body gets pretty upset with you. We want to do our best to take care of our bodies physically. Well, you know, we're also spiritual beings. And so it stands to reason that a follower of Jesus should be able to take care of themselves spiritually, to feed themselves spiritually. You don't feed yourself once a day, do you? Once a week? You know, you feed yourselves throughout the day, throughout the week. And that happens, you see, by God's design, living within Christian community. And there's so many ways to experience community here at Orangevale. For example, being here again right now. Being here 2 hours ago for Bible study. Coming here later on for the evening assembly. Coming here later on this week on Wednesday to sit down and share a meal in God's Word. Then you can be here Thursday morning. Be a part of the community there, and they're going to begin studying the life of Christ. And there are other times that we assemble also here at the building. But again, living in Christian community is more than assembling here at the building. It's being connected by the bonds of Christ's blood. It's being family. It's having a common unity outside of the confines of these walls. And so with all of that in mind, I thought we would revisit the book of Acts. And we've been revisiting the book of Acts, it seems like, on a regular basis. It's in the Bible, you can't help it, but look at this wonderful book. The book of Acts, go ahead and turn over to Acts chapter 2, and let's read verses 42 through 47. And again, this text should be familiar to us. See, it's what happened after the Christian community was born, after the promised Holy Spirit was poured out on the apostles. And Peter preached about the Messiah, about his death, about his resurrection, about the ascension, about the promises that we have. Importantly, as was talked about again during the Lord's Supper, what it means for us. It means forgiveness of sins. It means peace with God. It means the promise of life after death. And so in response to Peter's sermon, the crowd again responded in belief, wanting to know what they were supposed to do. So Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we're told in verse 41 that those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 were added to the community of believers, of the followers. They formed the Lord's church. 3,000 were brought into koinonia. They were brought into fellowship with one another, into communion with each other by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so having a common unity, every Christian, no matter born today, years ago, decades ago, centuries ago, those that are going to be born tomorrow, later on, every Christian is a part of the Lord's body, his church, the community of followers of Jesus Christ. Again, so what did that look like? What did that look like back when things began? What does God's idea of Christian community look like? Again, let's take a look at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 down through 47. God tells us that they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All of the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day, they continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, this snapshot, if you will, of the community of the churches of Christ that we see here is one that shows God's people on fire. You know, we're told here that they were rapidly growing, both spiritually and numerically. And I believe solely that you cannot grow numerically without growing spiritually first. You see, this is all because these people were genuine followers of Jesus Christ. They were real followers. They were devoted. They were devout, devoted. They were devoted, devout people. to true community. This was a group of real followers that desired to be together with a spiritual purpose. This was a group of real followers that wasn't a social club. This was a group of real followers that was not just a group of Christians that were hanging out, doing whatever. I mean, sure, they were together, but they were together doing spiritual stuff. You see, no real follower should feel lonely. Not if the community that they're part of is following God's design for his church, for the body of Christ. And again, what does that all look like? Well, again, look around. It's great that we all focus toward the front. And I know we tried an experiment before where we're sort of in a semicircle, and we kind of are kind of that way a little bit now, but we need to see that the church is you, is me, it's us, you see. It's people. You know, if you want to, take out your phone if you have them, put on your little camera and look. Say, hey, there's the church. You know, look at yourself. And we're not doing this morning, you know, just because. We're doing this because we love the Lord, because we love each other. We're here. You know, we want to talk about things this morning, make sure that we're not seated on the sidelines, to make sure that we're not spectators in the body of Christ, that we're not just a fan, but we're actually followers, real followers of Jesus, living in Christian community. And so the first thing that we're going to take a look at in Acts chapter 2, we just have a few points, and they're rather brief today. In Acts chapter 2, the first thing we want to see is that real followers desire to be in God's presence. They desire to be in God's presence. Now, I'd hope that we would, you know, when we get an image of the church in our minds, and we think about the people, we think that, hey, we want to be around these people, okay? For example, again, yesterday's ceremony with George and Anita, that was just awesome, you know? And it was a great time to fellowship and to encourage. And today, you know, with Ashley's baptism and everything, you know, it shows that we have a truly loving community. And we're so blessed, really, to have so many people who are eager to share the gospel, and so many people willing to listen and to respond to the gospel. So while it's great that, you know, we love to be together, what we see here in Acts 2 and verses 42 and 47 is that our first priority is to be in the presence of God. Again, verse 42 tells us that the followers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They took out the scriptures and they studied what they had, or the apostles, which were speaking the very words of God, who were speaking the very words of God. They took the words they were saying and they studied what they said. The apostles were there. They got to teach them. Imagine being able to be taught by Peter or by Andrew or by James or John. Just imagine being able to be taught by the apostles, and they studied their teachings. You know, they were focused on God's word and the word that was shared through them, you see. And verse 47 tells us that the followers were praising God for all that was happening, for God and his wonderful power, for the salvation that they have, for the teachings. You see, the early church understood that if you're going to get together, you need to get together for a spiritual purpose, and get together and you grow closer to God. Yeah, we grow closer to each other, but we're really trying to grow closer to God in what we do. And so we see that the early church prayed, and they read the scriptures, and they praised God together. And what I think is important is that they didn't get together to do these things. They do these things as they got together. I don't know if that makes sense. It's not like saying, okay, let's set a time and go over there and do this. They just did this because of who they were. Okay. And so the early church prayed, read scripture, praised God together. I think if we desire to be in God's presence, to truly be in his presence, we'll do the same. And not again, just assembled as the church on Sunday mornings here at the building, but at other times, not at the building. And again, not just to hang out, but to hang out and to grow in our relationship with God, and of course with each other. All right, well, that brings us up to our second main point from Acts 2, and that's that real followers desire to grow in their relationship with God together. Together. Okay. Take a look at verse 44. And you just kind of love what the verse says. I do. You know, it's It just says that all the believers were together and had everything in common. You know, just over the past few weeks, we've been through a lot together. Some things good and some things not so good. From the transition of loved ones, people moving far away, to births, you know, to weddings. Great stuff. Some stuff not so great. But as a testimony of being real followers, we've gone through that together. We've gone through that together. Now, we work hard to apply the scriptures in our lives. We pray for people in our congregation who need encouragement. We do things together, and we praise God, and we give honor to Him. And, you know, I was thinking about this throughout the week. You know, if for some reason someone does feel lonely here at Orangevale, and you don't feel as though you're growing spiritually as you should, I would like to encourage you to get involved. Get involved in the community here, either at the building, because we do a lot of things throughout the week here at the building, or at many of the other things going on in people's homes. I know that Al has things going on, and Ed's been doing a lot of things, studying. Everybody's been doing these little things, and there might be other things going on I'm not totally aware of. And if you want to start up a study and you're not sure how to do it, or if you want to get something going on, well, hey, let's plan it, all right? Let's do it. If it's all to get us to grow closer together to God and to strengthen our community, let's do it, you know? We want to do that again because real followers desire to grow their relationship with God together. And that's because real followers are dedicated to each other. We're dedicated to each other. Again, verses 43 through 45, I want to pay special attention to the dedication that the members of the body had for each other. The text tells us, starting in verse 43, that everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Reading those verses are powerful, and I think that they might actually scare some of us away from being real followers of Jesus. But take a look at what the body of Christ did in the early days of the church. We're told that if there was a physical need among the body, that possessions and goods, say you work in farm or you do labor and build things, were sold to meet that need. And that could scare some people today because you think, wow, really? If I'm a real follower and I see a need, does that mean I should do that? Wow. You know. We're also told that if there's a spiritual need, that this tight-knit group of people would be available for us as well to help each other and to pray for each other. To be there to call upon, no matter what time of the day it is, you know. Now, a couple of years ago, I shared this story, and I'd like to share it again because I think it's a powerful illustration of this type of dedicated follower of Christ. And I'm not sure if it's a true story. It's been passed around so many times. It's probably been, who knows. But here you go. It's about a boy who was born without a left hand. And one Sunday morning in Bible class, the teacher was trying to illustrate the concept of the church to a bunch of preschool students. Boy, was a preschool kid. In order to illustrate, she folded her hands together and she said, you know, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors, look at all the people. You know, you ever do that? Yeah, of course, yeah. Okay. All right. And then she asked the class to go ahead and do it along with her. Oops. She didn't quite think about that little boy who only had one hand. But before she could say or do anything to cover that mistake, the little boy that was sitting next to him said, "Let's do it together." And so the two boys joined their hands together And they made the church, and they made the steeple, and they opened the door, and they saw all the people, you know. But you see, that's the church. That's the church. And really, if anyone ever wants to use that illustration of putting your hands together to make the church, it sounds to me that we need to do it, you know, holding someone else's hand. It makes a whole lot more sense, because the church is not an individual. The church is made up of everyone interconnected in Christ, helping each other to be what God wants us to be. And we really all need that connection. We do. And that's because life often doesn't throw us straight pitches all the time, right? We get that occasional curve that we miss, and we strike out. Things don't always make a whole lot of sense in our lives. Tragedies happen, and now, they can't be explained, but anyone who expects the world to treat them fairly because you're a good person is kind of like expecting a bull not to attack you because you're a vegetarian. It's just going to happen, you know. So the bad news is that tragedy does happen. But the good news is that if you're a member of the body of Christ, then you don't have to go through it alone. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26, God tells us that as the body of Christ, we should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And so again, when someone gets a job promotion or a raise, or they find out they're going to have a baby, or they're getting married, or they're going to graduate, you know, or they're baptized, or whatever calls for celebration, then we celebrate together and we give praise to God and glory to Him for all that He's done. At the same time, you know, when something bad happens, maybe you lose a job or a loved one or something else not so great happens, you know, then we're there to grieve with each other and to encourage each other. Again, real followers desire to be in God's presence, and real followers desire to grow in their relationship with God together. And real followers are dedicated to each other. There's just one more thing that we need to see from our text this morning, and that is that real followers are devoted to the mission. We're devoted to the mission. Again, this is in Acts 2, down to the last sentence in verse 47. We're told there that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The Lord adds to the number in the church. The Lord is the one who saves, but He needs to use us to go out and proclaim the message, you see. You see, real followers share in fellowship, and we share in a community that is God-designed to actually be attractive. The Christian community is designed to go ahead and attract the lonely and the lost and the losers, if you will, of the world. And because of Christ, though, you see, we're no longer lonely, but we're now in community, and we're no longer lost, but we're found, and we're no longer considered losers by anyone because we're winners in Christ. And that is what people really want, isn't it? I mean, to fit in, to be a part of something, to have a purpose and a direction. God knows that. He gave us those desires. God offers it to us, though. He offers all of it to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and in the community that He created. And while God uses us in His community to do this, again, we must always remember that it is the Lord who adds to His body. It is the Lord who saves. We don't add to the church. We don't do any saving. You see, our job is not to be the Savior, but the Proclaimer. Keep that in order, things go well. Think about the church that we read here in Acts 2 again. Every day we're told that the body of believers were in the temple courts, talking to people and worshiping and sharing Christ with those who didn't know Him. You see, God is all about that interaction. He's all about people. God is all about communicating with His people. God is all about the relationships, you see. And all that stems, again, from the very nature of God. And so He communicates to us through our relationships with each other. Primary communication's here, without a doubt, in God's Word. But the Word comes to me, it comes to Steve, it comes to comes to Ken, it comes to Jeff, it comes to all of us, and we share that word, you see. We share that word. Through the relationships that we have, through the relationships that we form. Just think about it again. In true community, you could see people for who they really are. A people desperately in need of God's grace, of God's forgiveness. And in true community, you could see God for who he really is. A God who works in the lives of believers. You see God at work in the lives of those around us who've struggled and overcome, who've been blessed, who've been saved. And in true community, you can see true friendships, friendships that God desires for every believer as we love and we care for one another. You want to be a part of such a community? I do. A community to be, to have that desire to be in God's presence? I do. A community that's dedicated to each other, that are devoted to their mission? I hope we all do. And if we are real followers of Jesus, then that's more than possible. It's done. You see, real followers of Jesus don't need hugs from strangers with signs to satisfy their loneliness. We give hugs to strangers. And that's because Jesus is willing and waiting to hug you. To hug you with his nail-scarred hands. To save you from yourself. And those of us who follow Jesus are also willing to hug. You know, open arms of encouragement and comfort. And so this morning, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, but you now see that it's important for you to follow him, I'd like to encourage you to make the decision to follow Jesus all the way, to confess him like Ashley did as Lord and Savior, to go ahead and repent of your sins and to be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. And then you got to keep on following. Keep on following. You go along the way, you might stumble and fall. God's there to help you back up, and so are we. Keep living for him. Keep following him. And so today, whether you want to make the decision to become a Christian, or maybe there's some other need that we might be able to help out with, if you need to, I'd like to encourage you to come forward as together we all stand and sing.